Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Holdcast. I'm Jack Grimsey alongside Robert Lintott. As always, since we've seen you last, it's been a split of the two fixtures. Lost to West Brom, but a win in the real derby against the Blues.
And it's tough to think that, God, I'm so torn because in reality, I want to say we won the derby that matters, but in reality, we lost the derby that really matters because of standings.
Yeah, and because of points, the league table, that's really got to be the focus. Who cares if we win the League Cup, honestly?
But then at the same time, if we lose to Birmingham City, just burn everything down.
No. It had to be like West Brom last week when you put him twice in a week, or last year, excuse me, when you put him twice in a week, and you just had to have them both.
Yeah, exactly. It was I felt really weirdly about Tuesday's match against Birmingham City because it struck me as sort of a no win. You know, if we lose, we've just lost to Birmingham City and we'll never hear the end of it. And if we win, we won a pretty much meaningless League Cup match.
Yeah, it's gonna be maybe like Liverpool this weekend against us. If they win, well, it was a meaningless win. If they lose, they get rid of Rodgers. But we're gonna talk about that later. Yeah, I mean it like you're saying, especially for Sherwood, I mean maybe there's some positives he can take away from Tuesday at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if we start with Saturday's match against West Brom, there are no positives to be taken away from that thing.
No, I mean only you guess you go you only give up one goal. Is that what you want to say that?
That's a positive, I guess. You know, the fact that the defense. But the problem was we only gave up one goal because West Brom were bad.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. And it was to a player that doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, it's just and who celebrated as if he loved the club.
Yeah.
It was because yeah, it was the thing where yeah, you only gave up one goal, which 95% of the time is enough. But it wasn't because the defense were being stellar. It's because West Brom were being almost as bad as Villa were.
Yeah, it was just an ugly match, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any positives from that other than the one goal?
I mean maybe the fact that we got to see Veretout actually subbed on because I mean he just hasn't gotten a chance yet.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't get a lot of time. I think he got, what was it, 5 or 6 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, but at least Sherwood knows he's alive.
Yeah, exactly. He came on in the 82nd minute. Sorry, I was thinking 85th. But yeah, came on in the 82nd and did okay. He didn't seem too keen to start much of anything, but he didn't make any glaring mistakes, so hard to be angry at him.
Yeah, and then he got to play a little more, obviously, with the 90 minutes against Birmingham.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to just chalk up West Brom as another crap Villa performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only thing you can do at this point is just write it off as it was bad, and we're getting to this, but Villa can't put two halves of football together.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get one against West Brom, and that's probably all it would have taken to one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the really frustrating thing is West Brom look like hot garbage. They look like a team who deserved to be near the bottom of the table, and Villa just couldn't capitalize on that.
Yeah,
And
it was a game where you don't have to be playing a nearly at your best, and you could snake the 3 points.
yeah,
That's just what's
absolutely.
frustrating, is like, even if you're playing like trash, you should get a draw. It's West Brom at home.
Yep, absolutely. It was a match where the missing Ghana was huge.
Yeah. The loss of, he's really the whole midfield. He makes everything go. I mean, Westwood's great, but he needs somebody that can do a lot of running.
Yep, absolutely. And Westwood is a decent passer and everything. The problem that he's always had is he doesn't start much in the way of anything.
No, he's not very dynamic.
And right now we kind of need someone to do that, and we need someone to really take charge in the midfield. He strikes me as if he's very, very comfortable playing a number two role in the midfield.
And well, the thing is, as well, is if you have Idrissa Gana there, he's going to start running and he's going to pull people out of position, and then that's going to give Westwood the space to move as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I
But
just never feels like Westwood is comfortable captaining the midfield.
he's never really needed to do anything other than sit back, because look at who's playing with in the past. Delph ran all over the place, and even Tom Cleverley
Yeah.
could get things going.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a poor showing. We could have hoped for better, but that's all right. Birmingham, on the other hand, started off the same way. Poor showing. The first 45 minutes were, again, pretty much junk.
Yeah, I think they were the better team, honestly, the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter that it would be tough to say who was better. And it's like, no, that's BS.
No,
Birmingham were better.
They definitely edged it. I mean, you can't say that they really deserved a goal out of it. But
yeah. And a lot of people were saying that it looked like a championship match, and they were absolutely correct. It was physical. There really wasn't much happening. The defenses weren't, again, playing all that well. It was that neither attack could get going.
Yeah, I mean, you see that a lot of times in derby matches, though, maybe not just necessarily a championship match, though.
Yeah, that's true. Although you'd like to see a higher quality of play, I guess. You know, Villa once again
bringing some passes together. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Villa once again sort of played down to the level of their opponent. You know, Birmingham are a much better club this year than they have been in recent years, and they are, if you can abstract yourself from the fact that we all hate them, they're actually kind of an exciting club. But they're not great by any means. They're a good championship club right now, and Villa played down to that level again.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be a stretch to say that they can make a run for the promotion playoffs. Not necessarily they'll get there and they probably won't win it, but yeah, they play pretty good ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Their manager has them playing some of their best football they've played in ages, which isn't saying a lot given how bad they've been lately.
No, but I mean it's a step in the right direction for that club.
Yeah, and that schedule they have to put up with in the championship is just brutal.
Yeah, it's what, two fixtures a week, really?
Yeah, basically. And, you know, it seems like four extra matches shouldn't be that much, but boy, does it clog that schedule.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're an interesting team. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that. You know, I was hoping, despite the fact that it was a derby, that we might actually see a good free-flowing match, something that was interesting rather than, you know, something that looked more
like the last League Cup match.
Yeah, that exactly. Or something maybe more like
a free-flowing one midfielder, and it looked like a basketball game.
Yeah, or maybe something like the Leicester match, which again, now that we're a couple of weeks removed, if you could abstract yourself from the fact that we're Villa fans, if you were a neutral fan, that was a thrilling match to watch.
Yeah, that probably hooked a lot of people on the Premier League if they would have actually seen it.
Yeah, exactly. It just, unfortunately, we all were watching with a bias. But I was hoping for something like that, and instead we got a knockdown, drag-out junk fight.
Yeah, maybe you get that if it's at St. Andrews, you know? Maybe they're thinking, oh, we're on the road. Well, we have to play a little closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not give up two in the first 10 minutes, because then we're going to hear it for another 80.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens this weekend. Do Villa play to the level of their opposition? Because thus far it seems sort of like they have been.
Do you want to against Liverpool?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's
the big Liverpool one. Just did against Carlisle United.
And almost lost. They won, what, 3-2 on penalties?
Yeah, 3-2, I think.
Something like that.
2 or 2-1. It was not a good penalty shootout.
No, it was not a good match.
No.
Period. Full stop. It was rubbish.
I mean, I saw something that Liverpool had like 47 shots or something.
Mm-hmm. And just couldn't convert any of them. They were the opposite of, why can't I pull the name? Oh my God.
They were just Huskies.
Yeah, they were Huskies instead of like one of the greatest players in football. Scored 5 goals on Tuesday.
Lewandowski in 9 minutes.
Yes, thank you. Jesus.
Scored only one fewer goal than Liverpool in 9 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And scored a goal, I think, what was it, like every 3 touches or something like that?
Yeah, it's something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I apologize that my brain is not working.
Yeah, it's okay. You're sick.
But so the first half against Birmingham was rubbish. But the second half, that was actually a pretty good showing from Villa.
Yeah, that's kind of what made me think of the whole weekend. Put two halves together because it was, I mean, totally a game of two halves. It's a bad cliche, but the first half, I mean, possession was close to 50-50. It was, Villa had 53. In the second half, they had about 60% of the ball and then outshot Birmingham 10-3. And Rudy Justed, he was pretty good in that game. Overall, he won 11 out of 14 aerial duels. I thought that was a big stat.
Yeah, it was really good. He, when he was played the way he should be played, he was really good. When the ball came into the box at his feet, he showed exactly why he's known as an aerial player.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I thought it was a little harsh of a reputation because, like, against Bournemouth, he had a shot that went just wide, just past the post, and then another game he had a shot that went inches past the post, but not on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, on Tuesday he showed why people think he's an aerial player because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with his boots. It was absolutely atrocious, but that's not what he's supposed to be here for. He's supposed to be here as someone who you can ping a ball into. And finally, Jordan Amavi does that, and everything looks bright and sunny. He does it in the 62nd minute and does exactly what we want to see.
Yeah, that's what we've been expecting from Amavi. And, I mean, after he's had some tough performances, some difficult games, but adjusting to the Premier League. But he's shown signs, and I think on Tuesday that was a big sign of more to come from him.
Yeah, exactly. If he can do that sort of offensive play, I think we can recover from the defensive problems he very obviously has. Unfortunately, lately, he just hasn't been doing either.
Yeah, it's just a thing of maybe if the center back is Lescott or Clark, whoever it is, they have to know that he's a threat to both other team and himself and our team, I guess.
Yeah, and the hope for the team is that he doesn't pull a Bakuna because, you know, Bakuna had sort of the same profile and never developed defensively. Let's hope that Amavi can actually develop some defensive capability.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he can. Last year, he had the most interceptions in Europe of any player, so it's not that he is always poorly positioned. It's just if you dribble and you give the ball away in your own third, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, exactly. He makes life a little difficult on himself, but certainly didn't against Birmingham. The goal, his cross in on that goal was perfect.
Yeah, that was on a silver platter, really.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we should be doing. You just throw it into Rudy Gusted's head and just let him do one of those things. Okay, sure.
Like the Vine. I mean, obviously saw the goal, but the Vine, he's not even in the box until he connects with the ball, not even in the frame. The ball, it sweeps in from the left, and here's him just out of nowhere.
Yep.
Slams it to the bottom corner. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a couple of the other changes that really helped is, you know, at the half, Sherwood took off Gabby.
I think he picked up a knock.
Yeah, and he wasn't looking terrible, but he wasn't helping a lot. So he took off Gabby, and he took off Lescott, which allowed Clark to move back to central midfield, where he should, and brought back Grealish. So he essentially swapped a defensive midfielder for a Jack Grealish.
And Gabby, I mean, it was a derby. If there's one match you got to play Gabby, it's that.
And he looked up for it. And for two matches in a row, two matches in a row, he's looked pretty good.
He was all right against Leicester. He had that assist.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so three. I was right. Three matches in a row. He's looked pretty good. He's removed a lot of complaints right now, but he wasn't working in this match, which is fine.
No.
Rabiot came on, and to hear Villa fans tell it, why haven't we been playing him all season?
Yeah, I mean, that's Villa fans. They hate him when he was on. He didn't get really a fair shot, I don't think. He was, shafted into a wide role, and I mean, to be fair to the Villa fans ragging on him, he was perpetually offside.
Yeah, and he has been bad this season in the opportunities that he's had, but he's also been played in positions where he shouldn't be. On Tuesday, he was sort of played, he got wide on either side, but he was sort of played and given a lot of freedom behind the main striker, behind Justed, and that's exactly where he should be. And when given that opportunity, he performed brilliantly.
Yeah, second striker, because what we started off was that 4-3-3, and when you brought Gabby off and then shifted Clark, like you said, back from defensive midfield to center back, because Lescott was really poor, I thought. And even though Clark had been booked, it made sense to keep him there. And, yeah, so you bring on Grealish, and he actually was playing on the right, and then you had, Sinclair on the left, and then IU kind of right behind Justed.
Yeah, absolutely. And right behind, and given so much freedom to move around. It's exactly what he should be doing. Don't put him out on the wings, because that really negates his ability to move. He looked naturally competent. He looked exactly like we had hoped.
Just pulls defenders out of position. That's why you can't just only commit him to one wing, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's confident making a run. He made a beautiful run at one point up to the baseline, and then just sort of moved his way in, getting himself into a high percentage position. It's exactly what we wanted to see. And if Sherwood plays him like that, he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, there is still a learning curve for Sherwood, like the article that was on The Guardian that we had mentioned, one of our Twitter questions. But yeah, Sherwood doesn't really know these players. He's only had him for a couple of months.
Yeah. It always baffles the mind, and a lot of this, I admit, is armchair managing, but it always baffles the mind that pretty much everyone watching can see that, hey, that's where you should have been playing IU all along, and Sherwood didn't. And, you know, theoretically, he's a much better footballing mind than we are.
Yeah, but maybe Sherwood also realized, hey, this is where I should have been playing IU all along. You have to try him in a match there, I guess, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you give him a start this weekend based on his performance against Birmingham?
Yeah, I did. That's what I wrote in my tactical preview that's coming out today.
Yeah, I like the idea of giving him a start. I also wouldn't mind the idea of seeing him as a 45th minute sub come on at half.
Yeah,
bring in fresh legs and a fresh approach.
If you can keep that pace up for 45 minutes, because maybe that's why it was so effective, is against tired legs, and he's really fresh. He knows he only has to go 45 minutes. We can literally sprint after everything.
Yeah, absolutely. One negative from the Birmingham City match. Lieber Kozak doesn't even make the bench. What's this guy got to do?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe he has to injure Rudy, I guess, because Richard wants a big man.
At this point, I would play Kozak above everyone. And at this point, according to the Birmingham Mail, Sherwood rates him behind everyone.
Yeah, literally even probably behind Hepburn Murphy.
Yeah. So why? Any idea why Sherwood is so down on Kozak?
No idea. I mean, I know he tried to sell him. The move to Celtic fell through partially because they didn't qualify for the Champs League. But I don't know. He had a good summer. I don't know what he's shown in training. I guess I'm not there. But
he's been scoring in his U21 matches that he's been playing in.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
granted, he's got to be one of the best players on that pitch, but I don't know what more you can ask of the guy.
He's in the Europa League.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know what you can ask of him. And he's not getting a fair chance, and it's really frustrating.
No, it's just incomprehensible because you don't know the reasons why. Because he scored for us in the Premier League before.
Yep, absolutely. He's a natural scorer. He looked like fire in the preseason.
Yeah.
So his inability to get any time is maybe the most frustrating thing about the team right now.
Yeah. I guess final thing on the League Cup is next up is Southampton. That's going to be away. And it's in about a month. It's the week of October 26th.
Yeah. So it ends up, the match will be the 27th or the 28th, that Tuesday or that Wednesday there. Looking at some of the other matchups, I don't think this one will be televised, unfortunately.
No, I think Liverpool against Bournemouth is being put on.
Yeah.
Sky 2, I think I just saw that retweeted. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Still not a lot of coverage for all these matches.
Yeah, we'll have to make do with Jack Woodward.
Yeah.
Good old Jack. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to be on to the fourth round.
Right? Yeah, the round of 16. Yeah. So,
I mean, it doesn't seem like much, and I know it's sort of a piddly cup, but if you win it, you still get a place in Europe, and if you win it, it's still a cup.
Exactly. It's better than not winning it, especially if you have a decent road to get there, it can make you feel better about it. The worry is that you'll tank in the league, but
yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the nice thing is this cup is done in February, so even if you do spend a lot of time on it, you've got plenty of time to focus on the league again.
Yeah, but look at what happened when Swansea won that cup that year when they beat the team that we couldn't, Bradford City. And Spurs against Chelsea, their season went down the drain after that final,
That's
even
true.
Though it is in February. That was really the beginning of the end for Laudrup at Swansea.
Yeah, that's a good point, I guess. It just, I don't know. I'd like to see us win it. I think this might be more winnable than the FA Cup.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, then again, we were in the FA Cup final, so I don't know how much more winnable that can get. You've got on here as your next idea, Scott Sinclair is the guy we want to talk about. After being totally on fire, 5 goals in 2 matches, he has disappeared.
Yeah, he was just absent, I feel like, against West Brom and even a little bit against Birmingham when I thought, okay, it's championship opposition. He should destroy these guys because that's what he did in the past. But I don't know. He just hasn't done it for me lately. I would drop him this week.
Yeah. In the first match back after the break, I think that was Leicester, he came inches away from scoring a goal, and that's the biggest impact he's had since that break. The international break seemed to have ruined him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was on fire before, so it definitely cooled him off. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a small thing I guess I wanted to mention.
Yeah, you're right. And I think dropping him would be okay right now.
Drop him to the bench. Put him on the bench.
Exactly. Bring him on as the second half sub. Fresh legs playing the way he plays could be really helpful. But I don't think he deserves a start right now. I would agree.
No, especially when you need to put Grealish and Carlos Hill in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it would let you rotate a little bit. You know, get some other players in there. You've got a note on here that we've got 4 players who have played every Premier League minute this season.
Yeah, Brad Guzan, Jordan Amavi, Ashley Westwood, and Micah Richards. So, I mean, it really is the backbone of the side, I guess, especially Guzan, Richards, Westwood, but even Amavi is by far the best option we have at left back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not playing Sinclair does not spell any of those 4.
No.
You know, maybe a little bit of rotation wouldn't be terrible. Maybe in an easier match, do a Lescott-Clark pairing and give Richards a day off.
Yeah, exactly. It's just unfortunate that Ilori is apparently not fit, and I think Okoro still has about a month until he'll be fit.
Yeah. Richards, I guess the opposite side of that coin is he's injury-prone, so do you just play him until he gets his eventual knock?
Yeah, just run him into the ground? And then
say, because you know he's going to get a knock at some point, so get what you can out of him and let him rest after that knock.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
And you can kind of see why he's so injury-prone this year. The dude has no regard for his body and just throws himself into everything.
Oh, my God, when he slid into the post, that just looked so painful.
God, I don't know how he was
walking. I don't know how his back is still a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the kind of play. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see out of your captain.
It was 110%. It's great, but it's reckless. How did he get his body into a position to miss that chest in from the goal line?
Oh God. Exactly.
You have to just be going 100 miles an hour in every direction to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. He needed to go 110% to get that goal, and he went 111.
Yeah,
just
going too hard.
Yeah, but you know that's a sin that's easily forgivable.
Oh yeah.
We got a few different questions on Twitter this week. A lot of them have to do with the Liverpool match, so we'll get to those towards the end here. But which ones do you want to start with?
We talked a little bit about the learning curve, which was that article on The Guardian that Mark Bannister, 1874 FC, sent us. It's just a little bit about how, things are going to take time, and although Sherwood has made mistakes, though.
Yeah. I guess my only problem with Sherwood right now is the fact that, you know, I can forgive a lot of problems that he has. It's the stupid substitutions that are mind-boggling. He seems to have gotten it right against Birmingham City.
It's just what's your assistant doing? I don't understand is why do you have an assistant if he's gonna do the same stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mind boggling the way he uses his substitutions. And if he could fix that, I honestly feel as if this Villa team would instantly be better. I really feel like that's maybe the biggest thing holding us back right now.
Yeah, we should have had at least 8 points then, if you're being conservative even.
Make the right substitutions against Crystal Palace. Make the right substitutions against Leicester, against West Brom. You know, play these things correctly, and you're at least pulling out draws, if not wins, from these matches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still no excuse for that. You know, you're up 2-0 at Leicester and you drop to 0 points. You lose the match. There's no excuse for that. That's just crap substituting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the learning curve is fair, but the substitutions, you know, that shouldn't be a learning curve. You should get that quickly.
He's not blameless for everything.
Yep.
I think the other ones were just for the Liverpool match. A couple of them had to deal with Rodgers and, of course, getting the axe potentially if they lose, both from Claire Villains and Mark Bannister again. But, yeah, do you think Rodgers is out the door if they lose?
He could be. I think it depends on how they lose. If they lose by scoring one goal or zero goals again, it might be the end for him. Because, what is it, across all competitions, they've scored something like 5 goals this year?
Yeah, 6 in 8 games. And it's
there
like
we go, 0.7, six, sorry.
0.7 per game or something, just really, really bad.
Yeah, and they're sitting in 13th right now, and, you know, that's after starting the season with 2 1-0 wins. And after that, they've looked miserable. They scored 1 goal against Man United and 1 goal against Norwich in a loss and a draw.
And they got bombed by West Ham. That was really ugly.
Yeah. It's really tough to have scored fewer goals than Villa. And Liverpool have done just that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have to be trying to be that futile, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they've got twice as many points as Villa and still have the same goal differential, thanks to their atrocious goal-scoring record. And so I think if they do that again in a loss, he might be gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And it's tough right now because Henderson's out, and he's got to be the best player they have. And then Benteke, of course.
I was going to say, I would say Benteke is their best player, and he's out too.
I mean, under Rodgers, Henderson has been
their most
consistent guy in midfield.
I think Rodgers is definitely out if we manage to do to them what West Ham did. I don't think we will.
For sure.
But if we go to Anfield and beat them 3-0, I think Rodgers is gone.
Yeah.
And
I think, that cup match really, really weighing against him, getting taken to penalties by Carlisle United.
Yeah. I mean, that's a League Two team. That's like going extra time against Notts County or something.
Yeah.
Who would do such a thing?
When you're supposed to be challenging for the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, you know, when Villa went to extra time against Notts County, that lineup we ran out was bizarre. The 11 that Rodgers ran out against Carlisle yesterday wasn't maybe a first-choice Premier League 11, but it was an 11 that could play in the Premier League.
Oh, for sure.
And yet they just looked like junk against Carlisle. They couldn't find the back of the net to save their lives.
Yeah. That really sums it up.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't know. His time there has to be short. I enjoyed, apparently, one of the Liverpool fan sites is trying to get people to come in fancy dressed like Jurgen Klopp.
I think Klopp's taken the whole year off.
Yeah, I don't know. If Liverpool came calling, I bet he unretires for the year.
I don't know why you'd want to get into that mess.
Because Liverpool have money and Liverpool have talent. I mean, there's no reason they should be as dismal as they are.
No, there's a zero reason.
They've got the kind of money to shell out for a Benteke over the summer, for a Firmino over
the summer. Calling it out on players like Markovic and then loaning him out after not giving him a chance the first year.
Yeah, exactly. It's just,
what are you doing?
Yeah. Or getting rid of Balotelli.
Yeah.
I honestly think that the ineffectiveness of Balotelli is more down to the way he was used than it is Balotelli.
Or buying Balotelli.
Or buying Balotelli, yeah. Like, that will solve our Luis Suarez
problem. If you're going to use him like that, why did you get him?
Exactly. And I have sort of the same question for them with Benteke, too. I don't think they're using him well. And dude has to be wildly frustrated.
No, just put the ball up in the air, and he can either head it in or do a crazy bicycle kick.
Yeah, exactly.
As you saw at Liverpool, come on.
Yeah, exactly. So they've got 8 points. They've got that -3 goal differential. On Saturday, they will be without Christian Benteke.
Yeah, and what do we have for us? Ghana's still going to be out?
Ghana's going to be out. Adama will likely be out. Elsewhere, I'm trying to think. What, I mean, Okora is obviously
Ilori is ineligible anyways because it's Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah, it just... It's not terrible. I would imagine that Gabby is probably still out if he took a knock.
Probably.
It's one of those things that he's getting old enough, you just rest him. But it doesn't seem like we're that injury-plagued right now, although missing Ghana is huge, and missing Adama. Adama could tear apart Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, yeah, especially a back three if he has to go against a wing-back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, he's just already down the wing.
Yeah, he's fast, he's strong, he's a good dribbler. He's like a faster, not quite as good at finishing Christian Benteke, and Benteke always did wonderfully at Anfield Field.
Yeah, you just think of somebody just terrorizing the defense and you could have thought, oh, maybe he could do it.
Yeah.
In the number 20 shirt as well.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been nice to see there. But, I don't know, one of the questions that we got, I believe it was from Mark Vanister, was, what are you happy with? No, I'm sorry, it was from Grassmad at Iden. What must we leave this match with? He says a point at least, and I would tend to agree.
Yeah, I think if you take a point, if you can get a point, you take it.
Yeah, a point. And would 3 shock you?
No, it wouldn't. But also losing something like 3-0 wouldn't shock me either, just because maybe they want Rodgers to stay. I don't know.
Yeah, or alternatively, because does your team have trouble scoring goals? Well, play Aston Villa. We'll fix that right up for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you feeling confident about this match at all?
I'm feeling confident that we'll at least score 1 or 2.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a match that sees us not look like total junk. So
yeah,
that would be a bonus, I think.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with my prediction over 2.5 goals again. I think there will be goals in this one for both.
Absolutely. Totally agree on that. Is there much else to say about this Liverpool match?
No, I don't think so, other than Liverpool fans will probably actually maybe want us to win, because then they could get Rodgers sacked.
Yeah, I mean, that could be.
But I think if Villa get an early goal, the crowd's going to totally turn against them.
Yeah. The depressing thing is, even a win won't get us above Liverpool. It would be nice if we could get ourselves above them.
Yeah, but it's a start, because this is a really, really tough stretch coming up.
Yeah, I mean, there's this match, and then after this we've got Stoke, I believe, right before the break.
Stoke at home, yeah.
Yeah, so at least that's a doable result.
Yeah.
Stoke have looked like junk this year.
Yeah, but they always kill us at home.
Yeah, it's true. That's the worry. And then you get yourself a nice international break, and then Chelsea, Swansea. Yeah, we need to get something here. 3 points would be outstanding.
Yeah, 3 points would be ideal. I'd be happy with the point, but then again, I was against Leicester, and I don't know. It's just frustrating.
So have you gotten the new FIFA game yet to sort of close things up here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, we did skip over this. But my roommate, actually, he got it for PS4, and I already got fired as Villa manager. So the first season, you get a massive transfer budget. Like it's like $33 million, and just already after everything we bought this summer. But anyways, they just wanted a mid-table finish. And the second season, they expected qualification for the Champions Cup, which is their version of the Champions League. And I finished sixth and got the axe.
Wow, that's pretty damn harsh.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if that's the expectations. Sure, what's going to be on next year, or
do you like the game?
But yeah, it's pretty good. It really looks a lot more like you're watching a game on TV.
And are Villa actually worth playing with?
Maybe. I mean, they don't have anyone who's above an 80. Like losing Benteke really hurt. But
yeah,
or I guess I don't know. Is Richard? I think Richards might be a 79. But definitely good in career mode. And that's better, because there's these like training drills now, and you could train 5 players a week, or you could train Jack Grealish 5 times, which is what I just kept doing, and got him from a 72 to an 81. Like, nice. Come on, like, give me another year, and Grealish is gonna score 30 goals, and you will get to Europe. Like,
I don't have a gaming console, so sadly I'm stuck playing FIFA on the iPad, and FIFA on the iPad is a junk experience.
Well, new Football Manager comes out in November, so you'll have that.
Weirdly enough, if you're an iPad person, they released Football Manager Classic for the iPad, which is basically like almost a fully fledged Football Manager at this point. And
it's basically like what FIFA's career mode is.
Yeah, but maybe more in depth.
Yeah, a little more.
Yeah, but it turns out on the iPad itself, I actually prefer Football Manager handheld. It's a little more simple. There's just too much going on in that little screen to be able to touch it and do things very well. So I actually prefer Football Manager handheld, and it doesn't give you as much control, but for $5 or whatever that game is, it is one of the most entertaining $5 I've ever spent.
Yeah, for $5.
Yeah, it's a pretty great game. This is a weird segue, but speaking of iPads, and you get those things on the App Store, which is related to the iTunes Music Store.
I was literally about to use the same segue.
just want to send out thanks to Matt Jones, Frossum, and JDullWW for leaving us reviews on iTunes. We're up to 6 reviews now, or 6 ratings, 4 reviews. Please keep leaving those. We really appreciate it. It's nice to actually have that show up. It'll actually make us show up a little higher when you search for Aston Villa now. We'd like to be out there. We really appreciate you guys listening, and we'd like to have even more people listening. And while you're there, make sure you also click on Aston Villa Review and subscribe to them too. Because if you're listening to us and you're not listening to them, you're missing out on the other amazing Aston Villa podcast. So give them a listen while you're there. But yeah, thank you to those three for leaving us reviews. And if you keep leaving reviews, we'll keep reading out your name so you can have your name in lights on the whole cast.
Yeah. And remember, we're still also on Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube, of course, where some of you actually watch us. So I want to thank everyone for doing that. And Liverpool match, it's on Saturday.
Saturday, normal time, 3 p.m. England time, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. West Coast.
Yeah, so as always, we'll have the coverage for you on 7500holt.com and on Twitter at 7500holt. So for Robert Lintott, I'm Jack Grimsey. Thank you for watching another episode or listening to another episode of the Holtcast.